Did y'all sleep well? I did. Are you full? I was full last night, and I'm still full today. So many thoughts. Peter says to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance.
Right.
Now, there's got to be something in there to stir it up.
Yep.
If I gave you an empty bucket and stick and said, stir this up, you'd think I was crazy. So there's got to be something in there to stir. And what ought to be stirred up is our pure minds.
Right.
And there are some things that I was reminded of last night. And when I got home, I do consider Sister Nan's house my home, by the way. When I got home and started thinking all the way, while Brother David was preaching, while the whole day yesterday, these scriptures and these truths just kept on coming to my mind. I want us to remember that God is the Creator.
Amen.
If you'll, when you read, I want you to notice how many times Paul brings it up when he's introducing the gospel. He told those at Mars Hill about God who made the worlds. And Peter brings it up. And John brings it up. They bring up the creation. Well, God created the heavens with the power of His voice.
Amen.
He said, let there be light, and there was light.
Amen.
Now, man can't create something. Man can make things, but they can't create anything. Creation means that there has to be something that came from nothing. Men can't make something from nothing. They can rearrange things that are already made. And God created man by the power of His voice as well. He breathed life into that man, and Adam became a living soul, and he was a naturally, y'all hear me, he was a naturally good man. Not like you and I. I can't imagine the specimen that he was of a human being. The clearest mind that there ever was. Besides Jesus Christ, of course. And God gave Adam one law. One law. He said, out of all the trees in the garden, you can eat. You freely eat. Did you know that included the tree of life? That struck me one day, many years ago, that he was free as a naturally good man to partake of the tree of life. On his own accord. He was free to do that. And he said, there's one tree that you don't touch. You don't eat of it. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did he do? In that naturally good state. What did he do? Did he reach up and partake of the tree of life? No. He was disobedient to God. And he was disobedient in one law as a naturally good man. And so we find out that that law was not kept. And we all know this. I hope you know the story. That Adam fell, and by Adam we find out that sin entered into the world.
Amen.
And by Adam, Eve partook of it first, but it was attributed to Adam because he was the one that the law was given to.
Right.
She knew it.
Yeah.
Now, I want to look at the whole Bible today in about 20 minutes. So fasten your seatbelts. When God gave him that one law and he disobeyed it, then the punishment was exacted on that day. He said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Adam lived, I believe, 960 years after he partook of that. Was God lying? No, God wasn't lying. He did lose that naturally good state that he had. And what all did he lose? He lost his home. He lost the place that God had prepared him to dwell. And a curse came upon all the earth. And God thrust him out of the Garden of Eden and put a flaming sword and a cherubim there to keep the way of the tree of life. Man was no longer in his uncorrupted state. Adam was made incorrupted. Y'all get this. He was made incorrupted, but corruptible. Y'all keep that in your mind. And so, when he disobeyed God, he was corrupted at that point. And because Adam was corrupted, all of God's creation became corrupted, and the earth was cursed. And the law of sin and death, that's the law of sin and death, that one law that God gave was the law of sin and death. And that law of sin and death continued until God gave some more laws to His people. And all of those Ten Commandments that He gave to Moses on Mount Sinai, all that was an expounding on the law of sin and death, which really was talking about don't be disobedient to me.
Right.
If you want to be obedient to me, I'll give you 10 things to try. 10 things to do to be obedient to me.
Right.
And as soon as God gave Moses those laws, he came down off the mountain and he saw the people rising up to play. And if you want to read what that is, just go figure it out. Go read about it. I can't explain it to you. But they were already in idolatry. It didn't take them long to start worshiping something other than the one who delivered them. And so Moses took those laws and he broke them to pieces. Those two first tables of stone that God wrote with his finger. Moses broke them, and then he called him back up, and he said he gave him the same exact laws again on two more tables of stone, same exact words, only this time God put them in a box. He said, "You make a box." I think Moses broke them first to demonstrate that every law that God has ever given to man has been broken by man. But he put them in a box. And he said, "Keep it. I'll keep it. And man can't touch it." Man can't touch it. And like Brother David said, hallelujah. There was a mercy seat that was the buffer between the judgment of righteousness of God and His law. And so, then not only did he expound on that one law of sin and death, when he gave the Ten Commandments, then he said, I'm going to make you a kingdom of priests. And when he called Israel out from the world and said, I set my love upon you. And I called you out so that you could hold forth my name in the earth. And then what he did was he gave those priests further laws, didn't he? To expound on the ten. You want to be obedient to me? Here's how you do it. You do all these things. You jump through all these hoops. Whenever you disobey, you have to sacrifice an animal to make it right. How many of y'all would only sacrifice one animal in your life? I'm telling you, if every time that God gave a law, he was so specific about it that he told them, this is exactly how you do it. And God's so serious and so exact about his laws, he told those priests that I want you to inspect their scabs. And if their scabs, and if it has a hair in that scab, and it's a white hair, he gave them instructions what to do. But if the hair is yellow, he gave them a different... Brother David, I don't want to have to follow God's laws. Aren't you glad Brother Neil doesn't go up to you and inspect you like that? But all the Jews, all the Israelites had priests to do that for them. We don't understand what that's like. And not only did God give them ceremonial laws and worship laws, he gave them governmental laws and civil laws and health laws. He gave them so many laws to keep. If you're going to be obedient to me, this is how you do it. I would be crushed, Brother David, under that weight. And I want you to realize that when Jesus comes, he said, like Brother David mentioned last night, I'm not come to do away. Jesus didn't come to do away with the law, but he came to fulfill it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Where does that leave us? Because, you know, Paul told the Galatian church of Galatia, he said, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That we might be justified by faith. Now, justification is a big subject, and I won't get into all that today. But I want you to look up that definition of justified. It means three things. Number one, to render one such as he ought to be. To render one that way. And another one is to declare that a man is as he ought to be. See, you could render someone as they ought to be and never declare it. You could declare it. It could be declared. But it might, and the other one is to exhibit or to show that one is as he ought to be. Those three things. I want you to think about that when you come across the word justified in the Bible. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, understood all those laws. Pharisee of the Pharisee, all that. But the Apostle Paul had a problem, didn't he? He said, I thought that I was alive without the law once. Let's go and read. I don't want to mess that up. I want you to think about you as we're talking about this. Because I don't know if y'all know this about me, but I'm kind of a student of the human condition. Because I know myself. I have to apply and preach things that apply to me. And so, the Apostle Paul is bearing his soul in Romans chapter 7.
Right.
He's giving you a very intimate glimpse into what's going on in his mind and in his heart. And Paul says about the law in verse 7, 7 and 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Now I'm going to break that down for the kids. If there was no speed limit sign out there, would you drive 55? I wouldn't. I'd drive about 90. If there's no law, then you can't break it. And if somebody says you can't drive past 55, what is it that you want to do? You want to go 56. Some of you want to go 80. You know, I'm going to stop and tell you a little story about Drew. Well, all of us were in the car coming back from Mississippi, and we were driving through Selma, Tennessee. And there was a state trooper in one of them old brown SUVs following me for what seemed like, you know, 30 minutes. And I was driving 54. And when he passed me, I sped up. And Drew said, Daddy, why do you do that? And I was over there, you know, I was like this. Driving. I was watching. I was watching the speedometer more than I was the road. And Drew said, Daddy, why'd you do that? And I said, son, I'd a whole lot rather follow the law than have the law follow me. Paul is telling us what it feels like to have the law follow him. He says, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. That's a big word, isn't it? You know what it means? Evil desires. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But what law is he talking about? See, he's talking about several different laws in here. What law is he talking about? He's talking about the law of the Spirit of life. He's talking, I was alive without the law. He thought he was keeping the law of sin and death, but he wasn't. He thought he was being obedient to God, but he wasn't. Something has to happen to us to realize that we're an offender of God's law. And Paul's going to talk about this soon. He says, for sin taken, he said, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. What commandment is he talking about? He's talking about that commandment where God said, told the Spirit, I want you to go into Saul of Tarsus and I want you to make him alive. That commandment that the Spirit said live, and Saul of Tarsus lived, and his sin revived in him. And he realized what he was in the sight of a holy God. And he died. Boy, I tell you what. And he was, it said he, the law slew him. I mean, it cut him deep. Has the law ever cut you deep? Be happy because you're alive. If the law cuts you deep, be happy because you're alive.
Right.
Spiritually alive. Because the commandment has come to you. Sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin might by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Have y'all, the older y'all have gotten, have your sins bothered you more?
Yes.
You young folks, I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about your decisions that you make because they will affect your life. And I want you to realize that things that don't bother you so much now as far as sin are going to tear your heart to pieces when you're older. And they will slay you. Paul says, Paul describes his struggle. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. Paul's talking about the conflict, isn't he? He's talking about the conflict that only God's children have.
Amen.
Only people that are spiritually and naturally alive have this conflict. The natural man doesn't have the conflict. We find Paul told the church of Corinth, he said, for the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. So the only people that can have this conflict and do have this conflict are children of God. It's the Spirit warring against the flesh. And young folks, it's a struggle every day. I want you to wake up in the morning and I want you to decide, I'm going to mortify my flesh today. Because that's how you walk in the kingdom. One way, how you walk in the kingdom, I think the most principal way. There's a lot of descriptions of that. I'd love to talk to you about the kingdom one day. Well, we've been talking about it all week. Paul says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Y'all, Paul's giving you great insight into this struggle. I want you to think about yourselves. I want you to think, can you identify with what Paul's saying? Can you? For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do, but sin that dwelleth in me. If I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. You know, if Paul would have stopped this letter right here, I would have thought that brother is in so much heart despair that he's not able to even take another step in God's kingdom. I would think, and I know people, trust me when I tell you. I know people that have exactly this struggle. And they don't understand the next part. They believe the truth of God's Word even, but they have such a hard time embracing it that they're still in bondage. And I want you to realize that Paul gives the remedy for this. And Paul, as he describes this struggle between the natural man and the spiritual man and his daily walk and the warrings that's going on in his mind, he says, it brings me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And Paul, I can see as he's writing this letter, almost getting down on his knees and crying out to God, saying, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?"
Amen.
And I want y'all, if y'all don't know this, I'm going to get a little gruesome and real here. Do y'all know what Paul's talking about right here, the body of this death?
Yeah.
Did you know that there were some heinous kings that their punishment for criminals that had committed crimes, they would strap dead corpses onto their live ones and make them carry around a dead body that's putrefying flesh that stank and was rotting? They would carry that around as their punishment. Paul alludes to that right here.
Yeah.
Did you know that's what the Spirit does to your flesh every day?
Yeah.
Your flesh is rotting, putrid, and it stinks in the nostrils of God.
Right.
And it ought to, and it stinks to the Spirit.
Right.
Paul says, "Who's going to deliver me from my conundrum? Who's going to deliver me from this bondage of sin? Who's going to deliver me from this putrefying thing that's strapped onto me, this flesh that I have? Who's going to deliver me from that?" And he says, "I thank God."
Amen.
The boy hit the ball. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then," Paul says, "with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." I want us to think about something real fast. We're going to go into overtime today. And I'll give way, Brother Danny. Do you know, Paul says, "There is therefore..." Because he thanked God through Jesus Christ our Lord that delivered him from the body of this death. "Therefore," there is therefore, now. That means right now.
Amen.
"No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit." Now that's a descriptive part of that sentence. That's not how you get in Christ Jesus. If my brother was here and he had a blue shirt on, I said, "You see that man with a blue shirt on? That man with a blue shirt on, that's my brother. The fact that he's got a blue shirt on don't make him my brother."
Right.
It's describing to you who I'm talking about. Now, listen to this. Did you know, out of all those laws that God gave was about disobedience, the law of sin and death, the ten commandments, and all the Levitical law, the priesthood, and all those laws and all that stuff, God's only got two laws? We didn't know a whole lot about the second one in the garden, did we? "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death."
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, and why is that? We find out, Paul tells us in chapter 5, that because of the disobedience of one, many were made sinners, but by the obedience of one, many were made righteous. God's got two laws, law of sin and death and a law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's only God's only two laws now.